I guess it was, what, Sunday that I first started hearing about this? Is that about
Sunday night, Monday morning is when kind of people were saying, look, it's not going to be long. It could be hours. It could be a few days, but it's not going to be long.
Yeah, we started hearing about it then. And you know how this goes. When you start hearing about stuff like that, then it's usually imminent, and this was the case.
All right, so I want to know from you concerning the Queen of Soul. At what point did you realize, at what point did she impact you at all?
It's kind of odd because this was a name I knew a good bit before she impacted me. And the reason I knew this, I knew her name, was because I would go down to H.L. Green's downstairs.
What's that?
That was a kind of a department store. It was a department store in the building where I now reside. And I would go down there, and I wanted to do two things. Number one, check out the lunch counter, because there was always a scene going on at the lunch counter. And number two, go through the records, because they had an awesome selection of rhythm and blues records. And I started seeing a lot of records in those bins by Aretha Franklin. And I didn't know too much about them. I started hearing one or two of them, one of some of her older stuff on the black radio stations that were around back then, but for me, she crossed over with Respect. That was the first song of hers that I ever heard. That was her first really big breakout hit that brought her right into the face of the white audience.
I feel like the biggest idiot ever. I did not know until today that Respect is an Otis Redding cover.
Yeah.
I had no idea. And that, I mean, it's a, you know, that's a song that talks about the empowerment of women. What was he talking about? Did she turn that into that type of song?
The fella's got to get a little respect, too.
That's her song, though.
Oh, yeah.
Make no mistake.
She was the one that made it. I mean, she took it over.
Yeah.
She took it over. And, in fact, I heard her do it before I did him.
Yeah, most people did.
Sure.
And all due respect, no pun intended, to, in my opinion, the GOAT in Otis Redding. That's her tune.
Yeah. I read that, you know, it was obviously her first big hit. It knocked, it was her first number one in 1967, and it knocked Groovin' off the top of the charts from the Young Rascals, which had been there for, they said, a couple of months.
Yeah.
So this was a huge, like an instant hit.
Yeah, it was a huge hit, and it sort of rode the wave of a lot of rhythm and blues records that were crossing over into the white audience, into their consciousness back then. I mean, there were a lot of guys that I used to hang around with and kids that I used to hang around with and people I used to know, like I was still in high school then, but that stuff was their jam. That was what they listened to.
Yeah.
That's what they were into. Now, I was into all of it. I was into psychedelia and, you know, just all kinds of different stuff, but
oh, we know you're into psychedelia.
But I was also very much into the rhythm and blues that was out there on the radio, too. And a lot of bands were starting to play it, too.
Play Respect?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Damn. All right, so I don't know, Danny or Ty, what your first exposure was to Aretha Franklin. I know mine, and it was in a movie theater, and I didn't know who she was at the time. Hand me the cord over there, because you know, this is one of the iconic movies of that era, and it's certainly one of the more iconic scenes of the movie. I'm talking about the Blues Brothers. And did you guys, were you aware when you were watching the Blues Brothers who this was as a kid?
Yeah, I mean,
like 10?
I knew who Aretha Franklin was. I don't have a memory of not knowing who she was. That music was on the radio in the 70s.
Yeah.
It was played all the time, so you know, it wasn't necessarily my jam as a 6 or 7 year old.
Right.
Really, the only thing I cared about was Marty Robbins and Elvis.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong there.
No, not at all. But still, you know.
Listen to how this scene starts. So it's John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, the Blues Brothers. They're in this little diner, and Aretha Franklin is a waitress, and her husband is one of the chefs, and they're trying to recruit the husband to get on the road. He used to be in the band with them, trying to get the band back together, because they're on a mission from GAD. And listen to the uncomfortable interaction between Aretha and who is this? Who's the black guy that they get? I mean, he's a musician. All these guys that were in the Blues Brothers were musicians, like Skunk Baxter and
Donald Duck Dunn.
Yeah, I don't know who this guy was, but it's just kind of listening to it now, it makes you uncomfortable.
I love you, but I'm the man and you are the woman, and I'll make the decisions concerning my life.
You better think about what you're saying. You better think about the consequences of your actions.
Oh, shut up, woman.
You better think.
And it is a full 4.5 minute choreographed version of Think in the diner. And it's awesome. And I wish as a little kid I would have known, like, oh, so this is the woman that has the greatest voice in the history of music.
That guy is Matt Guitar Murphy.
Yeah, Matt Guitar Murphy. His middle name is Guitar.
Baxter.
Yeah.
Johnny Guitar Watson's middle name is Guitar.
That's right. It's a real mother for you.
And who's the guy playing sax with the long hair?
That's Blue Lou Marini.
Yes, yes, Blue Lou Marini. Yes.
He's a North Texas guy.
Oh, but this is such a great scene, and Aretha sold it like a son of a bitch, too. She was awesome in that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my first exposure to her. And then, of course, as a kid, you know, comes and goes. That's it. And then about 8 years later or whatever, I'm watching MTV, and here's this big old lady with a flat top popping on my screen. I'm like, who is this and what is happening on my TV? I was probably looking like Beavis and Butthead did. yeah, right? And here
comes... What's she doing? Who's zooming who?
Yes, who's zooming who?
Well, I would say by the end of the 60s is when she hit her mark, is when she got on Atlantic, wouldn't you say?
Yes, yes. I mean, Respect was an Atlantic record. And that was all we knew of her, was the Atlantic stuff.
And you think about a four-album run starting in 67 with Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You to 68's Lady Soul, which is just definitive, all the way to 72, Young, Gifted, and Black, and Amazing Grace in 72 as well. That's a pretty salty run when you think about the tracks that are on those albums.
Yeah.
She had 10 top 10 hits in an 18-month period. Beginning with Respect.
Yeah. You could not get her off of the radio. That song, Think, that you just rolled?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was probably her, oh God, I don't have a real sense of the chronology of it, but it was like, I believe, her third, fourth hit single. Mm-hmm. And man, they just ran them out one right after the other.
So what separated her? Obviously, you know, she's an incredible singer, but what was the... It's not like she
why
was
her
this,
as opposed to somebody else?
Yes. Why Aretha? And obviously her voice is up there, but like, why not Billie Holiday or somebody like that?
Well, Billie Holiday was more considered, I don't know, more of a jazz singer. This girl was doing what Sam Cooke and Otis were doing.
And there were no other women at the time doing something like that.
I mean, I can't think. I mean, not that were as popular as her. You had singers like... Gosh, Mike, help me out. You know, Diana Ross.
Yeah. Dionne Warwick was around then.
And you had unknowns like Candy Staten that is one of my absolute favorite female soul singers. But she just transcended, man. And she had great songs, too. She picked great songs and she wrote great songs.
She was clearly the best. And she fell in with the Muscle Shoals crew.
Yeah, that 67 record, their first on Atlantic, was recorded in Muscle Shoals.
Yeah. Yeah, she fell in with them. They're the ones who backed her on most of her records, and that was a record-making machine back then. Those guys just had a way of working, and she fell right into it. I also hear that she played a lot of her own piano.
Yes, I read that too.
Dude, she was a great piano player.
Played a ton of her own piano on her record. She played almost all the piano on Lady Soul.
She sold 75 million records worldwide. She was the first woman ever inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987.
Mm-hmm. Bidding?
Yeah, which I didn't know that either. The outpouring of praise since this morning when her death was announced at about 8:50 is pretty otherworldly, and I would say that, you know, we talk about Prince going suddenly. People were geared up for this. Mm-hmm. They were ready, like mm-hmm. you said, and they had their statements prepared. But just do a Google search of, you know, Aretha Franklin, I don't even know what you call it, statements, obits, whatever. Everyone who matters in music that's alive right now said something, wrote something, and you can imagine the positive vibes. She meant the world to all these people.
And you would have to look pretty far and pretty wide out there to find somebody who, you know, doesn't work in like a fringe genre or something like that, who would not say that he was either not a fan or was not influenced by her. I mean, she cut across all manner of boundaries, racial, economic, whatever musical genre you might want to, you know, you might want to bring up. I mean, it's maybe she wasn't completely your bag, but you had to recognize how great she was.
Yeah.
You had to recognize the talent. You had to recognize the craft, the skill, the concept, that she knew what she was doing when she was making those records, and her ability to crank out hits was just otherworldly for that period.
Rolling Stone back in, it had to have been 10 years ago maybe a little less than that. They did their 100 greatest singers of all time. Here is the quick top 15. Robert Plant, Al Green, Roy Orbison, Little Richard, Paul McCartney at 11, James Brown 10, Stevie Wonder 9, Otis Redding 8, Bob Dylan 7, Marvin Gaye 6, John Lennon 5, Sam Cooke 4, Elvis 3, Ray Charles 2, Aretha Franklin 1.
Hard to argue.
And
you'll get no argument from me.
Was it that way right out of the chute? I mean, were people, you know how when you hear certain voices, and Amy Winehouse immediately comes to mind just because she was different back then at what she was doing. Whenever you did hear respect, was everybody going, wow?
Yeah, they were.
How do you do that? The range that she has, yeah.
Yeah, they were.
She had an ability to sing like that and avoid over-singing. You know?
Yeah.
Christina Aguilera. Yes.
And all these girls that claim to be soul singers nowadays, and I'm talking, I don't know of one, except maybe Winehouse is a good example, but her voice, she affected her voice so much, you never really knew, is that really her? Riri sounded like Riri, and she just didn't overdo it. She didn't oversing.
Yeah.
Nobody can sing like that to this day.
Right.
I don't know when the exact date that Respect came out, but I know it wasn't long before I was getting calls from guys going, bro,
I don't even know, man.
Have you heard this yet?
Yeah.
Like, you just knew it was special.
Yeah, you did. I mean, it had that certain something.
Respect
all
was
the great ones have.
67 on the Never Loved a Man record. It was on that album. Yeah. It may have been released as a single prior.
Yeah.
Well, this is a big one. I would say that we would be hard-pressed to find someone bigger passing away this year.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the big ones of the year for sure.
Yeah.
We have lost greatness here today. Stay hard, Aretha.
I'm sure she'll take comfort in that.